Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Three and Out podcast. We are back from our quick hiatus. I'm Kyle Reams. Today, I'm joined by Jade of Pant.
What's up, guys?
Today, we are welcoming on Ethan Levy, the founder of Gotham Sports Network. He runs NYG Weekly and does some other podcasts as well.
Ethan?
Yes, speaking.
All right, so let's just get right into it. We have some questions to ask you. So you've been notorious on Twitter of kind of ranting about the Giants quarterback situation and also talking about it in your NYG Weekly podcast. So what are your current thoughts on that position group right now?
Well, it's not great. I mean, obviously you can tell by the play on the field. There are going to be people that try to tell you otherwise and that, you know, Eli Manning is he's got years left and that he needs, you know, better offensive line play, and he needs his receivers to make plays. But the fact of the matter is, in today's NFL, you're going to, you know, there's going to be no perfect conditions for a quarterback. It's very rare to find, unless you draft well year after year after year, which the Giants obviously have not. So if you're a quarterback that needs perfect conditions to succeed in today's NFL, you're not going to succeed. So, you know, time for Eli Manning. It's over. They need to move on. For the money that they're paying him, they could have any number of soon-to-be mediocre free agents, be it Nick Foles, Joe Flacco, hell, maybe even Teddy Bridgewater. But, you know, Eli's time here should be done. Thanks for the memories, but it's time to move on.
And kind of adding on to that, what do you think about Giants GM Dave Gettleman? I know last offseason he said, oh, if what I saw in Philadelphia wasn't Mirage, talking about an Eagles game that was played late in the season, what would your thoughts be on him retaining Eli for another year or even possibly extending him into his 40s?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the extension would have to, yeah, I would need to see the numbers on it first because, you know, you could be just kicking the can down the road in terms of the dead money that you're going to be incurring from Eli's contract, be it next year in 2019 if they decide to move on, or in 2020 if they do indeed decide to extend him to lower his 2019 cap hit. I haven't been a huge fan of Dave Gettleman, be it in Carolina or with the New York Giants. I think where he is better than Jerry Reese is recognizing his mistakes. You know, he let go of Patrick Omame after throwing him a 3-year contract. He let go of Eric Flowers, Jerry Reese mistake. He's quick to move on, sometimes good, sometimes bad. You know, with some of the players that he's brought in, a la Curtis Riley, sometimes the guy that was here was the better option, but obviously Jerry Reese and his acquisitions leaving a bad taste in Gettleman's mouth. I sort of like this draft class. Obviously, I wasn't a huge fan of the Saquon Pickett, too. I'm a big believer in positional value, which Dave Gettleman is not, unfortunately. But I'll give him some time. I don't think that he's capable, at least with his current mindset of how you build a team, of putting a contending team on the field. I mean, you look at what's happening in Carolina right now. They're basically letting Cam Newton out to dry. They have one of the best running backs in the league in Christian McCaffrey, and they don't have much else. So, you know, we'll see. He's been notorious for finding, you know, guys that are good in the trenches in the middle and late rounds. So far, he's hit on B.J. Hill. You know, Will Hernandez was sort of a no-brainer pick. But a lot of work needs to be done on both lines for me to, you know, give my thumbs up or seal of approval on Dave Gettleman.
Very interesting. So as you know, Todd McShay had Dwayne Haskins going to the Giants. What are your thoughts on this projection? Would you like to see the Giants not take a quarterback or take any other quarterback or just take Haskins?
I mean, a lot's going to depend on how the year shakes out. It's obviously very, very early, so I'm not putting a lot of stock in a Todd McShay mock draft, but Dwayne Haskins is a guy that's grown me a lot. I don't think that this upcoming quarterback class is nearly as good as the 2018 class. I was a big fan of Baker Mayfield, big fan of Josh Rosen. If the Giants decided to take a chance on Sam Darnold, I would have thrown my faith in him. And you look at Josh Allen, who's just been doing outstanding stuff up in Buffalo, with probably one of the worst surrounding casts outside of Josh Rosen in terms of young quarterbacks. So, you know, Dwayne Haskins is a very talented kid. From New Jersey, I believe, so he's a big Giants fan. I'd love it. I don't know if he'd be able to start right away, sort of a Mitch Trubisky situation where this is really only his full first season starting, so he's very, very raw. But I think he's someone that Pat Shurmur could definitely work with. I also like Will Greer, although I don't know exactly where he'll get drafted. We'll have to see how things shake out because, you know, guys like Patrick Mahomes, who were originally projected to be a second or third round pick, even guys like Deshaun Watson wound up going mid to late first, so You know, we'll have to keep an eye on it, but Dwayne Haskins is a guy that I'm pretty high on. Whether or not he's the guy to succeed Eli, we'll see. But I'd be happy with the pick if the Giants brass thought that he could be the next guy.
And now moving on to some more general NFL picks, who do you think will win the MVP this year?
MVP, that's tough. I think it's going to be hard to argue if Drew Brees, and I know it's a regular season award, but I think it's going to be hard to argue against Drew Brees if him and his team make a run. They're probably the most complete team, which obviously works in his favor. Patrick Mahomes has got to be, you know, it's between them. It's between Mahomes and Brees. Strictly on numbers, you got to give it to Mahomes. I just think that the Saints are a more complete team, which helps in Brees' favor.
And going back to that, kind of talking about the Saints, who would your Super Bowl pick be right now?
Super Bowl pick be right now. It's tough because I think there's a lot of teams that could get hot going into the playoffs. As someone who's holding currently a Saints future as well as a Chargers future from preseason and very early on in the season, I would not be shocked to see those two teams match up in the Super Bowl. I do think that if the Saints get home field advantage, even a team as powerful as the Rams, they're not going to go in there and beat Drew Brees at home. In the AFC, I think it's really weak. I know we do this every year. Oh no, the Patriots dynasty is over. But it really, really does look like they're just not the same sort of team. They're not as powerful. They're not taking as many down the field shots. It's sort of a dink and dunk team with a bend but don't break defense. So I really do think the Chargers are the most complete team in the AFC. I think their defense is light years ahead of where Kansas City's defense is. So it's going to be a real shame if they're going to have to go on the road if they finish with 12 wins. But they're my favorite in the AFC at this point.
And last question. On Twitter, you call yourself supreme leader of the Odell Defense Brigade. And
yes, I do.
I'm just going to ask, I mean, do you think Odell's lost a step? I mean, he hasn't really been great after the catch this season, and he hasn't really shown that same burst on like many slants that he would normally take to the house in his previous games in his career. What are your thoughts on his season and how he's been performing?
I think he's been fine. I think if you look at his projections before his injury, he was on pace for the usual 1,400 yards, 9 or 10 touchdowns. Things aren't going to be looking as hot because the Giants are just bad in general. But Eli Manning's missed him on a bunch of looks, and early on in the season, it's going to take a little bit of time to get used to a new offense, which is what the Giants were doing with Pat Shurmur. So I don't take any stock in that. I think he's still a bona fide top two receiver in the league, probably, you know, you could argue top three between him, Hopkins, and Antonio Brown, but I don't buy into the fact that he's lost a step at all. I think he just needs better quarterback play around him. And if you look back to 2016, where he was taking all those slants to the house, you know, those are still improbable plays. You can't be relying on your wide receiver to single-handedly win you games. So I'm not buying it. I think next year, hopefully he gets better quarterback play, and I think he's going to be back to producing at the level we're accustomed to.
All right. Well, thank you. And everyone, that was Ethan Levy, of founder of Gotham Season. Thank you, Ethan.
You got it.
And now we will be on to the college football section here on the Three and Out podcast. We're going to be starting off running down the first round of the college football playoff. Two blowouts.
Terrible games. Yeah. I mean, people want to say that the Alabama game was close. Alabama was clearly in control that entire time.
It was close at a certain point, but it was only close because Alabama let it get close, and then they decided to stop playing and just put the foot in the pedal.
Yeah, I mean, we saw the real Heisman winner that day.
Kyler Murray, obviously his team is not... He couldn't carry that team past Alabama by himself.
I mean, in college football, defense wins championships. What can I say?
Mm-hmm. It was a blowout. I mean, what everyone expected to happen. Clemson, in the other game, destroyed Notre Dame. I think it was, what, 35-3?
30-3. And Brian Kelly should be embarrassed, honestly.
I mean, I don't think he's ever won a bowl game.
I mean, all of the big games he's been in, he's lost.
Yeah, and it was just two ugly, ugly games. And, I mean, it's Bama, Clemson, part four.
Yeah. And I just want to propose something. I think this year we should have gone back to the BCS system. I'm not even lying. People are saying expand the playoff. I think we should bring it down to two based off this year. I mean, if this keeps happening, the number one team, the number two team make the championship. I mean, yeah. You've got to bring it down at some point.
I mean, the case for the 18 playoff definitely took a hit this year because, I mean, if you look at the rest of the top eight, 5, 7, and 8 all lost their bowl games.
And 9.
And 9. So that's not a good showing for them there.
And, you know, Kyle's real national championship happened to lose yesterday.
Okay, they didn't have their starting quarterback. I mean, LSU was good. LSU beat UCF, and it was close. But, I mean, again, UCF didn't have their starting quarterback. This is their first loss in 25 games.
I think they actually have, like, a pretty big game scheduled next year. I don't know who.
Finally. And then also we're going to talk about the Rose Bowl, Urban Meyer's quote-unquote final game, Ohio State versus Washington.
Do you think that's his final game?
No. He's going to come back for USA. And, I mean, like, if you look at this game, it was 28-3. I know you're getting flashbacks there.
Listen, Dwayne Haskins balled.
He balled, yeah. And he's going to be the top quarterback in this draft, most likely.
And the question is, do you think he's going to be drafted by the Giants, or will someone trade up to take him away?
I think having him to the Giants is the perfect situation, which is why I don't think the Giants will take him, because I don't think they're going to be smart enough to take him. I think they're going to try and stick with Eli for another year, and it's going to blow up. And we also have Texas, Georgia. Yikes.
I don't think any of us expected that. I mean, Georgia was this was the Georgia team that is probably Alabama's greatest, best competitor. I mean,
yeah, and I mean,
it took a backup quarterback to beat them.
Yeah, that was an ugly game. And I mean, you're a big Texas guy.
I mean, I think Sam Ellinger was right when he was like, I think they have a lot of momentum. Texas football is back. I mean, if you didn't believe it at the beginning of the season, you have to believe it now. Tom Herman, 2 10-win seasons when he's come.
Obviously, this also really lowers the argument that it should have been Georgia in the playoff over Oklahoma or Notre Dame.
I think the real argument now is that Ohio State should have made the playoff.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they did almost blow a 28-3 lead, but
I mean, at the end of the day, they were up 28-3 for a majority of the
game.
That's
true. But that was an ugly, ugly game by Georgia. And, I mean, also, it doesn't matter now, boosts Oklahoma's stock.
For sure. Fields or Fromm?
Fromm for now.
Fromm for now. So that means Fields is going to leave. Where do you think he's going?
I have no idea. I mean,
I'm going with Ohio State.
Really? Yeah, I could see that.
He's definitely going to a big-time power. He's too good to go to.
You just got to look at the powers that don't have a quarterback. I mean,
Ohio State's going to hypothetically lose Haskins.
Mm-hmm.
I could see Oklahoma is in the market for a quarterback.
I think they got the number one quarterback this year, though.
Oh, yeah, Spencer Rattler. That's true. But I don't know if you want to start a true freshman necessarily.
Right. And the thing with Georgia, with this kind of decision for them, is do you take stability or the risk-reward? Because, I mean, Fromm has done it for you in the past. He's a solid QB.
Like, precedent shows that you have to take the risk-reward. This year, 2 teams that made the national championship took a high risk. Actually, 3 teams that made the playoff took a high risk.
Trevor Lawrence.
Ian Book.
Tua.
I mean, taking risks now is the new college football. We're looking in a new era of college football where these traditional Southern powers are taking these big-time quarterbacks.
Yeah. And, yeah, I think it's just that question of, do you want to be solid for sure, or you want to maybe take a gamble, and we'll see what happens. And now we're going to go to our predictions for the college football playoff final game, the championship game, Bama-Clemson.
I think it's going to come down to an offensive shootout. Do you think it's going to be a shootout or a low-scoring game?
I think that it's going to be kind of a middle-of-the-road game, because Bama obviously is a great defense. Both of their offenses are great. And I think Alabama's going to pull it out in like a 27-24
game. Yeah, it's going to be really close for sure, because at the end of the day, these two teams play exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
They have very similar
I think
play
what it's
going
to come down to for me is that one of them has a true freshman quarterback, the other has more experience.
And I think we've seen throughout the season that Trevor Lawrence is inconsistent. As good as he is, he's obviously, I think we can
he's
both
gonna
agree.
Be great.
I think we can both agree he's right now the best prospect in college football.
But he definitely has his moments, as all true freshman quarterbacks usually do.
And knowing Saban, he could just scheme around that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Saban got over his hump. The quarterbacks who provide him the greatest challenges are the ones who win the Heisman. We've seen that with Cam Newton, Johnny Manziel, and Deshaun Watson was basically the
Heisman winner. Pretty much the Heisman winner, yeah. And I think this is the best Alabama team we've ever seen.
I think the win against Oklahoma solidified that.
And if they win
I don't think
Monday,
I've ever seen a Alabama offense like that. I don't think, what they put up, like 48 points?
It was impressive. It was very impressive. And, I mean, that's one of those things, though. Normally an Alabama team against, like, this Oklahoma team, they I don't know if they'd be able to put up 48 points to keep keep up with Oklahoma. I mean, it would, they really have to rely on their defense of the past. But now they can score with the best of them.
For sure. And, listen, Clemson's secondary is probably the weakest part of that defense. I think Ian Book just had a bad game. Mm-hmm. So I really expect this to be a close one, and it's going to come down to the fact that Tua's just better than Trevor right now.
And yeah.
So I've got Alabama winning. I'm going to go with the same score as you, 27-24.
I think that's it. And I would honestly not be surprised if it's a larger margin than that. I'm not expecting Clemson to be able to win, though.
For sure. And before we end this section, I want to talk about Justin Herbert leaving. I mean, I know it's been a couple weeks, but what were your thoughts on that?
I don't know how I feel about it.
Did he make the right decision?
There's pros and cons for both sides, obviously. What do you think?
I think he's just one of the. I think he's seen what can happen sometimes when you leave too early, mm-hmm. and maybe he wants that recruiting class. They had Kayvon Thibodeau come in. They had a very high recruiting class.
They did, but I don't think that Oregon as a program, at least this year,
they're not a winning program.
Yeah, they're
sure.
not. I mean,
and you're not winning the Pac-12. I don't even have them winning the Pac-12 next year.
I mean, also, if you win the Pac-12, who cares?
Yeah, you're still not making the playoff. We saw that with Washington.
But it's I don't really love the move because, yeah, if you leave too early, sometimes that affects you. But we've seen a lot of quarterbacks who try and stay an extra year. Usually leaving too early, people who are hurt by leaving too early is when everyone is saying, hey, maybe you should stay. And, like, if they're younger. But Justin Herbert, I think, if he stays another year, I don't think he can boost his draft stock.
I think he's going to be hurt. I think he's going to slide down.
I think the only thing that can happen is he drops or stays the same and is a year older.
Remember, he's going to be in the same class as, what, Tua? If Tua has another great year, they're going to take Tua over right. Justin Herbert.
And I think this year he has a chance. He has a claim as the best QB prospect in this class.
He's got everything, the height, the arm.
Like the
IQ.
I mean, it's him and Dwayne Haskins and no one else.
Yeah.
Who else is it? Duke?
Greer?
The Duke guy?
Yeah, I mean, and no one's going to take a guy from Duke unless he plays basketball.
Exactly. But I don't really love this decision. I mean, obviously, they do have a good recruiting class. He does see that they have a chance to maybe make a run, but I don't think that reward has a high chance of paying off. I don't think that Oregon can be a great team this year.
I completely agree.
And that is going to do it for our college football section. And now we'll be moving on to the NFL rundown here on the 3 and Out podcast. Alex could not make it today, apparently not just because the Eagles made the playoffs and he doesn't want to be wrong. It's the end of the regular season. Playoffs are set. Three teams got eliminated on Sunday, week 17. Steelers, Vikings, and the Titans. I mean, the Titans,
you can't
really blame them. I mean, just don't blame Gabbert in effectively a playoff game. I don't know what.
Do you think Mariota needs to play through injury in that kind of game?
Yes and no, because what happens? They make the playoffs, and then you start blaming Gabbert in the first round? Like, yeah. I think it was a smart move, because I think Blaine Gabbert has shown he can win, but, like, it's obviously the expectations are a lot lower. I think for Mike Vrabel in his first year with what isn't an amazing team talent-wise, I think he did a great job.
Yeah, for sure. I don't see them winning the AFC South anytime soon. But
no, but it's a packed division.
I could see him getting fired in a couple of years, actually.
I disagree. I like him as a coach. I mean, what he's done with his team. I mean, Marcus Mariota, we've seen, it isn't a great quarterback. But he did a great job with his team, in my opinion. And then we also have the Vikings getting eliminated, Kirk Cousins throwing away the Vikings season.
Here's a stat for you. He's 5-25 for his career against teams who finished the year with a winning record. That tells you all you need to know.
Yikes. That's a bad stat. That is not a good stat for him.
He went 1-6 this year against teams that finished above 500.
Yeah. The Vikings, obviously, they thought they were one man away. They thought they were one good quarterback away. And, I mean, I don't blame them for thinking that. I thought that. Everyone thought that.
I think everyone sometimes you got to take that risk in life.
Man, and, I mean,
I mean, they couldn't account for the Bears just being that good.
Right, and it's just, that's a disappointing season for them for sure. I mean, they were Super Bowl contenders. They looked so good last year other than in the Eagles game. And
with Cousins eliminated, the six quarterbacks that make like the most money per year are all didn't make the playoffs. And I think that shows something. There's a formula. You got to win with a quarterback on his either his rookie contract or who's willing to take a pay cut.
Right. And then also the flip side of that stat, the two highest defensive players won their division and made the playoffs. The highest paid defensive players won their division and made the playoffs. Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack.
Defense wins championships.
Exactly. And then lastly, the Steelers. Someone's got to go for the Steelers. I mean, look at the talent on this team.
The wrong guy may go in AB.
I mean, AB fought with Big Ben or something.
Yeah, I heard.
He threw a football at him?
Yeah, I think he was a little fed up, and he said, like, trade me, and then he was kind of like, no one knew where he was, really, and they couldn't.
Yeah, he didn't practice because he was pissed at the team, and I honestly don't blame him.
It's really frustrating. I mean, you're getting double covered all year, but he's a little overrated in my opinion. He needs to learn how to, like, sometimes the greatest receivers are the ones who can catch in double coverage. He's had a little, I know he heated up towards the end of the season.
He's had a little bit of trouble this year, but I mean, also this team was a waste of talent. I mean, Big Ben is a solid quarterback. He's kind of fallen off now a little bit. He led the league in passing, but I mean,
but if you have that talent, you gotta win.
AB, Juju, James Conner is a Pro Bowl starter. Vance McDonald's a solid tight end. And then on defense, the defense isn't great, but they have pieces.
They have a pass rush. I mean, this is the same team that beat New England.
Yeah, and it's just, this is the most disappointing. And I think Mike Tomlin has to go.
I think this is the most disappointing team I've ever seen in my life.
Really? Yeah. Ever?
I mean, I can't remember another one, but definitely in the last 5 years. I can't.
Jaguars this year?
I think the Steelers are more disappointing.
Right, because, I mean, if you just look into what they have.
They have everything. What's their weakness? Kicker?
Boswell sucks. but it was just a wasted season and a wasted year of talent for them. And it's just, I mean, I'm not going to say it's upsetting. I'm sorry, Matthew. But it's just, Mike Tomlin has to go. I mean, you can't, he's done, you know?
He's just a motivator at the end of the day. He can't actually do anything X's and O's wise.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's good in the press conference. If that's what you want, then keep him. But sometimes you got to take that young hotshot coordinator who can call plays.
Bring back Todd Haley. and now we're going to go over the first round, the playoff picture.
Before we start, I just want to talk about something. Think about how many quarterbacks are on their rookie contract who are in the playoffs. Think about how many young players.
Let me think. Mahomes, Goff, Trubisky, who else? Watson, Dak, Lamar Jackson, Nick Foles and backup money, Carson Wentz. That's how you build a team now. You
got to have a quarterback who's balling on his rookie contract.
And then you can pay the defense.
And then you have to also have quarterbacks who are willing to take pay cuts.
Yeah, and I mean, also you look at that. I mean,
Drew Brees took semi-pay cut. He could have gone paid a lot more. I know.
Phil Rivers.
Tom Brady. Tom Brady's like the king of taking pay cuts. Mm-hmm.
These teams are all showing you can't. I mean, you I think look that's at Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, arguably the best quarterback in the league, he had a down year, but he couldn't bring that team by himself. I mean, there was nothing around him.
And I think quarterbacks who can recognize that are the ones who are the greatest.
Mm-hmm. And now, just for a look at the playoff picture, we're going to start with the wild card games. We have in the AAC, Colts, the 6th seed, at the 3 seed, Texans. What do you think is going to happen here?
I got the Colts winning. I mean,
really?
If history showed us what happened last time,
yeah.
I think the Texans are a very overrated team with a very easy schedule. I mean, they had to play the NFC East. That's four easy wins right there. And, I mean, their division was pretty weak this year, in my opinion. I mean, except for the Colts at the end who heated up. I think one team has momentum right now.
Yeah.
The other doesn't. I mean, this is the same.
One team has a better quarterback. I mean, Andrew Luck is playing MVP caliber.
For sure.
And the thing is, the Colts defense is greater than the sum of its parts, and the Texans defense is worse than the sum of its parts. I mean, Texans defense, it's good, but if you look at all the individual playmakers they have, it should be better. It should be a number one defense. I mean, you have Bernardrick McKinney, J.J. Watt,
Jadeveon,
Whitney Mercilus, Tyron Matthew. I mean, this team is, the defense, like, individually is great, and it's just, it's been solid, but it hasn't been that game-wrecking level. And then the Colts, I mean, who do they, other than Darius Leonard, they don't have anyone.
I think it's just great coaching. Frank Reich?
Frank Reich is doing a great job. And, I mean, I think I agree Colts are going to win just because when we've seen the Texans play in these games, these big games, they haven't really
converted. And it also helps it's in a dome.
Yes. And next, we have the other AFC matchup. We have 5-seed Chargers at the 4-seed Ravens. We saw this game a couple weeks ago, and it was closer than the 12-point loss. I mean, the Chargers were in a position to win it.
For sure. I got to take the Ravens here because they're just catching fire right now. I mean, this is like...
I mean, the Ravens are hot, but at the end of the day, this is a rookie quarterback who can't really throw in, what, the seventh start of his career in the playoffs.
But it's a cold weather game. You know, the Chargers aren't really used to that right now.
The Chargers, by
considering
the way,
they play on the West Coast.
The Chargers, weirdly, they have 4 losses. All of them came in Los Angeles. I mean, you lost to the Broncos at home, Chiefs at home, Ravens at home, and then you lose to the Rams at the Coliseum. And I think that, honestly, I know I'm sounding crazy for this, but they are better. It's better for them that they are the 5-seed. I think, obviously, it's hard to play in Foxborough and
in Baltimore
and Kansas City and Baltimore, but they have shown they won in Kansas City. They won in Pittsburgh. I mean, this is a road team just because they can't have any home games.
And I think a great thing about the Chargers is that they just always have this underdog mentality to them.
Because there's no one cheering for them. It's great.
But what happens when you go into the game as a favorite? I'm sure they're a favorite.
No, they're not. I think they're slightly... I think they're 2.5 underdogs.
I mean, again, this is probably disrespect. I mean, personally, I'd have the Chargers as a favorite if I were Vegas, but I've sadly got to take the Ravens. I know these are two teams that have both been
It's a high-powered offense versus a high-powered defense. And, I mean, I know you...
believe defense wins championships.
Yeah, but I think at this time in the NFL, you have to take the offense. I mean, this Chargers offense, they have Melvin Gordon back, Austin Eckler back, one of the deepest receiving corps in the league. You're getting Hunter Henry back for the first round. And, I mean, we have not seen what they can do with an actually good tight end, no offense to 50-year-old Antonio Gates.
The legend.
I think the defense, the Chargers defense, is better than the Ravens offense. If they can stop, that's the one thing, though. The Chargers defense has not been good against the run. And, I mean, they lost Perriman for the year. They don't have a great linebacking core. But I think if they can force Lamar Jackson to throw, they'll win.
I mean, Lamar Jackson did have that really good throw against them, but...
He had one good throw. He literally one good throw. I'm taking the Chargers. Don't ask why, because you know why. And then next, we have Seahawks at Cowboys, NFC 5-seed versus 4-seed. I think
this is going to be
an underwhelming game.
I think it's going to be very close. I mean, you cannot stop the Cowboys at home sometimes.
That's true. If they can get Zeke going, obviously, it's going to go their way, in my opinion. I mean, the Seahawks, this is a well-coached team. Pete Carroll has done an amazing job with this team.
Russell Wilson, arguably the MVP.
Arguably, yeah. But I think that... I don't know how this game is going to go. I'm going to go with the Cowboys just because, I mean, it's in Dallas. Seahawks are always better in Seattle. And I think that if Zeke gets going, Dak doesn't do anything dumb, then I think it's going to go to the Cowboys.
I got the Seahawks. I just got to take quarterback at the end of the day.
Yeah.
The only position I think makes a difference.
I mean, in this the thing game. Is, though, the Cowboys' defense is great. I mean, DeMarcus Lawrence, Leighton Vander Esch, I mean, this is a great defense, and I think that I always think about it like this. I think the Cowboys' defense is better than the Seahawks' offense, and the Cowboys' offense better than the Seahawks' defense, or at least as good as, and I think that's going to be the difference there.
I think we can both see it going either way, for sure.
Yeah, I'm taking the Seahawks at the end of the day. Or, I mean, the Cowboys at the end of the day. And then finally...
I think it's the worst game.
Eagles at Bears, 6-seed, 3-seed. Maybe Nick Foles playing, maybe Nate Sudfeld,
and it's gonna be a blow either way. I don't care who's in there.
I mean, you can't forget about the Nick Foles magic of the playoff. Nick Foles playoff magic turns into Joe Montana.
I heard magic goes away when Khalil Mack sacks you.
Yeah,
I know.
That's true. I mean, the Bears defense is amazing. Khalil Mack has a claim for defensive player of the year. He's not
Matt Nagy has a claim for coach of the year.
And I mean, this defense is great, and the Eagles' offense is not great, to say the least. I don't really know how they made the playoffs, to be honest. I mean, just thinking about their team.
It's just luck.
It's just Nick Foles leading them to victories over mediocre teams that, and the Vikings losing. That's it. And, I mean, the Bears are going to destroy them. But if Nick Foles plays, I do think it can be a
more or less than two touchdowns. Game.
I mean, obviously, if Sudfeld plays, it's more.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bears winning. I'm going to say 28-14.
All right, we'll see. And now finally, to close out our NFL section, we're going to do a little bit of an awards preview. Start off with the MVP. I think at this point, it's Mahomes.
It pains me to say it's Mahomes.
I hate it.
5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns.
I mean, Breeze and Rivers, who are effectively the only two contenders at like week 14, 15. They both kind of fell off, and Mahomes obviously hasn't been playing as well as he did at the beginning of the season, but he's still, if you look at his stats, I mean, he had what, 51 TDs, 50 TDs, and he led the number one seed, and I don't think you can take that away from him. If Rivers had beat the if the Chargers had beat the Ravens in week 16, I think Rivers has a claim. But at this point, it's Mahomes.
You know, personally, I would take it to a guy like Andrew Luck or Russell Wilson. That's just how I think. I think so there's more to the quarterback position than just numbers.
Right.
But you have to give it to a based off precedent.
Right. And you said Andrew Luck. I think Andrew Luck's going to win most improved player.
For sure. I mean, coming off an injury like that, you have to give it to him.
I mean, led a number one, led a playoff team. They could have won the division.
And personally, you know the term most valuable player. It's obviously the player who's most valuable to a team. It's in the name. I think the player who's actually most valuable, I think most GMs
Russell
would agree.
Wilson.
Yeah, Russell Wilson.
Yeah. I mean, without him, this team goes nowhere.
For sure.
And then defensive player of the year, it's Aaron Donald.
I mean, he's been balling.
If you have a defensive tackle who is threatening to break the sack record.
Threatening to be in the MVP conversation.
I mean, he was at points unstoppable for a majority of the year. Most sacks ever by a defensive tackle. And if you even look past that, I mean, he was just stuffing runs. He was doing everything for this Rams defense.
The anchor of that defense,
and
for sure.
He's the best player on the number two seed in the NFC. And he definitely deserves to be defensive player of the year second time in a row. And he's the highest paid defensive player in the league. And he deserves it.
I'm going to see a lot of teams next year paying high for some defensive players.
And now to the rookies of the year, offensive rookie of the year, I think it's Baker. It's either Baker or Saquon.
And I don't know where they're going
to
go.
One of them led their team almost to the playoffs. The other didn't do anything for their team. I mean,
I think Saquon.
Saquon came in second in rushing.
I feel like Saquon just did everything
2,000 yards
we
from
expected
scrimmage.
Him to do. I don't know. That's me personally. I mean, that's not a knack against him. I think, listen, he played like the number two pick. And I think that is great. And I think that's why he probably deserves offensive.
But I think Baker, this team was so bad the last couple of years. And then,
but look at the talent he has on his team. I mean, I think
Nick
Chubb has been playing well.
Nick Chubb is great.
Jarvis Landry
had a down year, though, and Antonio Callaway.
This is a defense with Myles Garrett.
I mean, the thing is, though, if you look at what this team has done in the past, it's nothing. And you plug in one player. That's the thing. They had maybe one or two changes. It was Baker and Nick Chubb.
And Jarvis Landry.
Jarvis Landry really did not have a great year.
I think it gave him a target. I think you have to definitely factor that in. This is a more talented Browns team than years past.
I just think that you have to give it to him. I mean, he led a basement team almost to the playoffs, and they looked explosive at points. And
Coward's going to be mad.
I mean, he has the most rookie passing touchdowns of all time, I think.
Yeah. And listen, this guy, you can tell he's like very mature compared to the other quarterbacks, mainly because he came... I mean, football maturity. I'm not talking about off-the-field maturity. Maturity-wise, he acts like, well, a teenager. But
yeah, I mean, he is. But, yeah, football IQ-wise and stuff, he comes out of what is becoming one of the best quarterback colleges.
QBU. Yeah. There's DBU. Now there's QBU.
And now defensive rookie of the year. It's a three-way race at this point. Derwin James, Darius Leonard, Leighton Vander Esch. I think that, I mean, I'm biased, but I'm going to say Derwin. He's just done everything. Like, there is literally not one defensive position he has not played except for... No, he probably played a little bit of cornerback, too. I mean, like, he really was all over the field for this Chargers team. And I think it's going to be him. Although Darius Leonard definitely has a claim to it.
Yeah, I've read a lot of reports online, and they've taken Darius Leonard.
I mean, Darius Leonard... He's the only piece on that defense, is the thing.
And this is a decent defense.
It's a decent defense, but there's no one else around him, and he's the only reason that that defense is good, which is why I think he definitely can make it, but I'm biased. And also, Derwin James really just... I mean, he definitely improved that defense. I mean, for a while, they didn't have Joey Bosa, and he was kind of like their main pass rusher other than Melvin Ingram. And he really improved this team a lot, and I think that's why he's got to... take it. And then finally, coach of the year.
I think we both have the same guy.
I think it's Matt Nagy. Yeah. Matt Nagy. It's probably between Matt Nagy and Frank Reich at this point.
And so has closing vote, has like the voting closed for these awards?
Probably. I think it has.
Because I think it would just come down.
They don't take playoffs into consideration.
And one guy won his division. Yeah. One guy didn't. I think that's what it comes down to.
And also, Frank Reich has the better quarterback. I mean, obviously...
To win your division with Mitchell Trubisky...
I mean, obviously, Matt Nagy has Khalil Mack, but I mean, like, in this defense, it's stacked. But, I mean, to be able to do that with this team, with Mitch Trubisky...
And running a college offense, yes.
And also, not good offense. I mean, like, skill-wise. Allen Robinson's solid, but, I mean,
These guys were all so young, he had to run a college offense. Right,
Tariq Cohen's kind of like a specialist kind of player. Jordan Howard disappointed majorly. Taylor Gabriel's okay. Trey Burton is probably Mitch Trubisky's best target. I mean, it's impressive what he's done with his team, and that's why I think he's got to take it. I mean, Frank Reich, he's not the defensive coordinator. He doesn't do defensive plays. He's an offensive coach, and that's why I think that it's Matt Nagy, just because what Frank Reich has done as an offensive coach, he has Andrew Luck. He has a solid offense. Matt Nagy's an offensive coach, and look at the offense that he has.
Yeah,
and what he's done with it. And that is going to do it for our show today. Thank you all for listening. Big thanks to Ethan from Gotham Sports Network for coming on. Make sure to check out his podcast, NYG Weekly. And also make sure to check out the other Harvard Westlake podcasts, including HW Goes Back to the Future, where we interview alumni, talk about their time here, as well as Roundtable Rundown, where a more general view of multiple sports is given, depending on what's in season. I'm Kyle Reams. On behalf of Jadiv and Alex, have a good week. Come back next week for round two of the NFL playoffs, and maybe Amster will be back if we let him. Thank you all for listening.
See you guys next week.